who she had begun this wonderful relationship with, her Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ. And so love had begun to infuse what she was doing. It was no longer just duty or drudgery. It was actually worship. It was love. And so she was doing things that she knew no one else would see, apart from her Heavenly Father, and she herself obviously would know that she is doing them. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth to help them understand more about spiritual things, including the gifts of grace and love that the Spirit gives to the church as we partner with him in his work. These gifts are tools to be used by us for strengthening the church and bringing good news to the world. And there are a number of lists of gifts in the New Testament. We heard one of them today. There's another list later on in that chapter from 1 Corinthians 12. There's a list in Romans chapter 12 and also Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4. So there's a number of lists, but they're not exhaustive lists. In Pathway 3, we go into much more detail. And in fact, we try and get together all the various items and ministries and missions from across the list, and there are over 20 spiritual gifts identified. But even that's not meant to be an exhaustive list. Paul's not trying to sort of put a full stop and say that's the only ways that the Holy Spirit works. But we can see there's great creativity in terms of how the Holy Spirit works. And it may be useful just for a moment to consider the list that we heard read today from 1 Corinthians 12, the first part of it, and divide them or categorize them in two ways, one in terms of word gifts and one in terms of power gifts. So let's look quickly at word gifts, and there's so much more that could be said about this. Our Lord is a Lord who speaks. And so from the very start of the Bible, we're told the wonder that God is so powerful that he spoke creation into being with a word. That he just spoke and what was not became. And science now in the last number of decades has come to recognize the truth of that. For hundreds of years, scientists were saying there was always matter. But now we know the materialist point of view is wrong, because there was a time when there was no matter. And science is very much agreed in this now, that now there was a time when suddenly, within a fraction of a second, the universe appeared. Something the Bible's been saying for thousands of years. God spoke, and nothing became something. So our God is a God who speaks. So Paul, when he's writing to the church in Corinth, says, all of us, all of you, he said, used to, speaking to the Gentiles, all of you used to follow speechless idols. In other words, things made out of silver and gold and wood and stone. But they were speechless. They were mute. They couldn't communicate. They were inanimate objects. Paul said, now you serve the living God who speaks. And so the Old Testament describes many prophets of God, men and women who heard the voice of God and spoke it out, saying, this is what the Lord is saying. And Jesus, of course, who is the ultimate prophet, priest, and king, said in John chapter 12, I don't speak of my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. Why did Jesus speak in parables? Because the Father instructed him by the Holy Spirit to speak in parables. Jesus knew what to say and when to say it and how to say it because the Father instructed him. And so as children of God, we have a Heavenly Father who is communicating to us. We have been adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ, through Jesus living, dying, reconciling us to the Father so our sins are washed away and we have this brand new start. and we are adopted into the family of God, and we have a relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. Well, what type of father would not communicate with his children? And our Father in heaven is the best father of all. So he's talking to us all the time. He's communicating to us all the time. Paul, when he's writing to the church in Rome, in Romans chapter 1, said that every single human being on earth should know that God is God simply by looking at creation. That he's powerful, that he loves variety, that he sustains it, that there are all sorts of cycles of nitrogen and water, and this is a miraculous creation. And so Paul says, even if no one has ever heard about God, they have heard it through creation. So God speaks to us through creation. He speaks to us through the Bible. He speaks to us through others in the church. He can speak to us through circumstances, dreams, and visions. The Bible is full of ways that the Lord speaks to us. Today in the world, it has been for a number of decades, but it's really happening in a really massive way today, is that many hundreds of thousands of people whose background is in the Muslim faith are coming to faith in Jesus because they're having dreams and visions of the man in white. And so as Christian radio then is pumped into those various countries, people are coming to understand who it is that they have seen in their dreams and visions. And so many are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. God communicates in whatever way he chooses to communicate, and he does so in very powerful ways. But the Lord doesn't just speak to us, he also speaks through us. And the New Testament makes this clear, and Paul writes about this, that one of the most frequent gifts of the Holy Spirit that is given is the gift of prophecy. So here are some of the gifts, if we can go back to that slide, please, about different gifts in terms of word gifts. And the one that Paul says, go after this, grow in it, exercise it, is the gift of prophecy. Now, whenever we hear that, we may well think, well, whoa, that sounds like something which is well beyond us. I don't imagine myself as John the Baptist or Jesus or one of the Old Testament prophets. But this morning, all of us were singing songs about Jesus. At the first service, we sang a hymn, Jesus is Lord. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, there's only one way that you can say or sing that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that is by the power of the Holy Spirit. To say it, to sing it, to believe it, there's only one way to go about that, and that is by the power of the Holy Spirit. So whenever you sing a song about the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you're exercising the gift of prophecy, because you're speaking out the truth that has been revealed to you. Every time someone preaches, they exercise the gift of prophecy. They're taking truth they have received and they're speaking it out. Whenever we exercise evangelism, telling people about Jesus, in a way we are using the gift of prophecy. We are speaking out truth that we have received. So to prophesy is to listen, and it is to speak. It's a now word to a group of people or a person that strengthens, encourages, and comforts them. They can be in the form of a talk, they can be in the form of a song, it can be in the form of a message. And so when Mary was pregnant with Jesus, she sang a song of prophecy. My soul magnifies the Lord. whenever Peter, on the day of Pentecost, heard that people were mocking the disciples for being so filled with the Holy Spirit that they were speaking in other languages they'd never learned, and they were staggering around like drunk men and women. Such was the power of the love of God upon them. Such was their joyful delirium and praise that people thought they're drunk. And Peter answered prophetically by saying, no, they're not drunk. This is what the prophet Joel prophesied. Prophecy is a now word into the situation of something which has been spoken to us. It may have been spoken to us 2 seconds ago. It may have been spoken to us 20 years ago. But the Lord stirs up in us and he shows us what to say, in what way and in what time. And that's the gift of prophecy. And so it's a gift of encouragement and strengthening. It's about building up people. It's about building up the church. It's about building people up. So you know when a prophet speaks because it should build up. Yes, there are times in the Old Testament whenever some prophets were exercised gifts to build up, but first of all, there was some tearing down. But that's a pretty specialist gift. But the Lord speaks to us to build up, to strengthen, and to comfort. So, it's one of the most commonly given out gifts of the church. In fact, Paul the Apostle would say it is a gift which can be sought by every single Christian. Because as soon as we say or sing, Jesus is Lord, we are speaking prophetically. There's also a word of knowledge. It's words of wisdom. In terms of words of knowledge, Jesus outside the town of Sychar, John chapter 4, we read this, the woman at the well. Jesus is tired, hungry, thirsty. He's in a Samaritan land. He sends the disciples into the town to try and get some food and water. They're all pretty shattered, I imagine, after a long journey in the heat. And they realize they need to stop for some rest, and they need to stop for some food and water. The problem is Jesus is left by the well, and there's no bucket. So he's there in the heat of the day. The disciples are trying to get some food, and they're on this journey, this missionary journey of 3 years. And as Jesus is sitting there, a woman comes out in the middle of the day, 12 o'clock, and unlike the rest of the women who have come out in the cool of the morning, and Jesus, we imagine, must have said, Father, show me how you want to bless this woman. And the Lord reveals to him facts about the woman's life that will unlock her heart and heal her pain and transform her life. There's a number of examples in the New Testament about that, and the disciples as well exercise these gifts. For me, probably about 20 or so years ago, the clearest example I've had of this in my own life is whenever there was a group of 18 to 30s in the Church of Ireland. We used to get together for worship, and I was a lot younger then, and in that age group, and we went down to Dublin for a day, and there was a guy called Davey who drove the Ulster bus that we hired down to Dublin and back up, and we got the sense during the day as we gathered for food and worship that the Lord was really at work in the life of Davey, the bus driver. And so on the way back up on the bus, I got chatting to Davey, and it ended up, as we're coming back up at about 8 o'clock at night, that I stood beside him, and we talked about Jesus all the way from Dublin to Belfast. And there was the group were praying at the back because they were aware of the fact that Davey was close to the kingdom of God. And so we stopped at Bambridge, and as one of the guys was getting off the bus, he said to me, a red Ford Escort is significant. we were praying, he said, and someone had a picture in their mind of a red Ford Escort. And we think that that's for Davy. So I spent the rest of the journey from Banbridge down to Belfast talking about Jesus to Davy, and then trying to work out how on earth I would incorporate a red Ford Escort into the conversation. And we stopped at a car park in Belfast, and he was close to the kingdom of God, but wasn't yet ready to make a decision to follow Jesus. And so finally I said to him, Davy, as the group were playing up there on the journey, someone had a picture of a red Ford Escort, and they thought that that might be significant for you. And the color drained from Davy's face. And he said, I have just sold a red Ford Escort. But it said maroon on the tax book. And I don't know, but I sort of wonder, had there been something shady going on? Because Davy was very pale. I don't know whether it was because of the fact that God had spoken or what he'd done, I'm not sure. And I just said to him, Davy, the Lord wants you to know that he knows about the red Ford Escort. And then the Lord told me to leave. So I left. Our God knows everything. Jesus employed gifts of knowledge, of knowing things that were going on in people's lives in the past and were going on in their minds in the present. And again he spoke because he was shown what was going on and what had gone on. But he never used the knowledge to destroy or to get one up. He always used it lovingly, carefully, and wisely to help people. So that's gifts of knowledge. There's so much more we could say about these things, but we can't really spend too much on them today. But gifts of wisdom. I think I said to you before, you know, a time whenever I drove to a conference in Armagh and stayed there for about 10 minutes because someone spoke some words that took less than 10 seconds to say that was like, such a word of wisdom to me. I described the difficulties I was having, and this person spoke two sentences. And I realized it was time for me to get in the car and go home. A word of wisdom that just utterly transformed the way I was thinking, how I was approaching something was completely wrong. And God spoke. There may be people who you go to hear words of wisdom, and they are like gold. They're speaking in tongues, an interpretation of tongues, primarily a prayer language, but so often people find this helpful. Often in hearing or talking to people who grow and grow in these gifts of communication, many would say that starting to speak and pray in the language of the Spirit, as it says in 1 Corinthians 11, though I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, that often that helps to unlock different spiritual gifts, and including the interpretation of tongues. So, the reason why Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 speaks about love is because he wants to reinforce the fact that sometimes we get caught up with the excitement of, my goodness, these are power gifts for God to use. And we forget to be loving. Moving in the gifts of the Spirit is about love. It's about helping other people. It's about expressing the love of God in word and in deed. So the reason why we ask for the Lord to give us the gifts of the Spirit is so that we can love people better. We can speak God's truth to them. So if you long to move more in the word gifts of the Holy Spirit, then first of all, what I'd encourage you to do is to ask the Lord. In Luke 11, Jesus says, ask and keep on asking, knock and keep on knocking. And Paul, as he writes to the church in Corinth, says, desire the gifts, ask for them. Lord, help me to be useful, to love people and show them your love. The Father loves prayers like that. And then we have to believe that he gives. And then to exercise faith. So we listen. If you're serious about wanting to communicate God's love to people, then you will read this book voraciously. At the end of our reading, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Do you want to know how to be useful to bring life and healing and salvation and peace and guidance into people's lives? Then read the Bible and read it every day and read it lots. And I think the last thing I would say is exercise the gift of encouragement. There's two main aspects to being used by God in terms of word gifts. One is listening and one is speaking. So practice the habit of saying kind and helpful words to other people. Not flattery, but encouragement. Because the more you listen and the more you speak, the more the Holy Spirit will use you in the word gifts to build the kingdom of God. Then there's power gifts. When Jesus was being criticized and threatened by religious leaders for healing on the Sabbath, he explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. A number of weeks ago, might have been last week, we talked about the fact that Jesus was tempted in every way as we are. He was given the same opportunities for growth as we are. We are given the same spirit that Jesus is given. And so we are empowered just as Jesus is. So we can say, Jesus was tempted in every way as we are. We can also say, we are empowered in every way as Jesus is, was. That's why Jesus came. To bring us from darkness to light so that we will become soldiers of Christ. We will become agents of change. We will become co-workers with him by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why he said, you will do even greater things than these. So Paul lists in this three power gifts. There are more, but first of all, faith. So this is at work in us. There's obviously faith in terms of salvation, trusting God for our salvation, but there's also a particular gift that the Lord gives to particular members of the body of Christ. So this is like a supernatural expectancy that God can do something that people are just thinking, I don't see how this is going to work. Like in Acts chapter 3, Peter, walking to the temple, sees a lame man. And a faith rises up in him, not a faith that's simply about Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord, but the fact that Jesus Christ could heal a man lame in front of the temple. Whenever the fire happened here, there was faith, a gift of faith exercised to turn what looked like catastrophe into something which was beautiful. It took a number of people, not many, only a handful, who believed that this was one of the greatest opportunities we've been given. The gift of faith is a powerful gift. Gift of healing, supernatural healing of disease or infirmities. Jesus healed all sorts of people from all sorts of conditions, and he still heals through us today. We've seen that in here. We've seen that on the streets. We've interviewed many people over the years, how God heals. I've experienced God's healing on numerous occasions. Our God is a God who heals. Miracles. Jesus turned water into wine. He calmed a storm. He walked on water, as did Peter. Did Jesus do miracles or speak prophetically because he was the Son of God? No. Did Jesus walk on the water because he was the Son of God? No. How do we know? Because Philippians 2 says he emptied himself of all his privileges and all of his heavenly power. He was just born a baby, like you and me. And also because Peter walked on the water as well. And Jesus raised the dead. And have a look at Acts chapter 9. Peter raised the dead. Because he was the Son of God? No. But because he was filled with the same Holy Spirit that worked through Jesus to raise people from the dead. I think I've mentioned to you a minister, a Church of Ireland minister from here who trained with me down in Dublin, and he went for a term to South Africa, and there was a man who was being trained theologically, and he couldn't read and couldn't write. He was from sort of quite a remote tribe, and so my colleague said, why have you brought into a 3-year training course a man who can't read and can't write? And the person he was speaking to said, because he's raised 8 people from the dead. And so we thought we better train him about the gospel. God does miraculous things today, and they inspire awe, and they bear witness to God's power. And often word and power gifts go together. We see this again and again in the life of Jesus, where a miracle happened or a healing happened, and then Jesus spoke. And you and I have the privilege of exercising whatever gifts are given, guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is restoring all things. And one of the ways he does that, the primary way he does that, the way he is doing that is through the church. And he gives us, as the body of Christ on earth, the same gift that he exercised himself. We are the body of Christ filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Lord is looking for those who are willing and prepared and available to express his love to those who are in need. Here's the thing. He chooses the gifts. He chooses the time, the people, and the place. That's why Paul speaks about the importance of the gifts that are less seen. Because sometimes we're drawn towards the ones that are seen. But as Paul says, aren't any more important than the ones that are unseen. In fact, he says the ones that are unseen, actually, like our internal organs, you cannot live without. The gift of encouragement is a really powerful gift. Over the last 22 years, there are a few people, particularly in our first years here, there was a woman and a man, 2 people, who exercised to me and Susan the gift of encouragement. I imagine we would not be here now if it were not for those 2 people. Because week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, they spoke words of encouragement. A word of encouragement can transform someone's life. It's about love. but it's also about availability. The other night, as we were speaking about healing in this on Sunday evening past, talked about the fact that there was an occasion about 8-10 years ago where the son of someone in our church family was gravely ill, in intensive care, so much so that their skin had turned completely black over their whole body, and they were lying on a bed of ice, and it didn't look as if they're going to survive. In fact, the doctors had basically said they didn't expect the man to survive. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, a woman in this church woke up, and she sensed the Lord saying, "Go to the hospital and pray." So she phoned 2 other members of our church family, one is here today, and said, "Do you want to go to Craigavon Hospital and stand outside that ward and pray?" And they went, "Yeah." And they went outside that ward and they prayed for a number of hours. And a miracle happened. In fact, all the staff called him the miracle man, because a few weeks later he walked out. And 2 years later he went on a motorcycle tour with his friends of Europe. Here's the thing. Having a dream, waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, it's very easy to say, "I think I'll roll over." Jesus Christ at the well outside Samaria was tired, he was hungry, he was hot, and he was thirsty. And the Father said, "Get ready, Jesus. There's a miracle about to happen." We don't get to choose the when. In my experience, the times that are most powerful are the times whenever we're tired and thirsty and hungry and at our wits' end, and we sense the Lord saying, and we have the opportunity to say yes or the opportunity to say no. And we step out in weakness and sense that our offering is very imperfect. But I have seen over the years many times that they are the times that God uses most powerfully. Because we know it's not us. We know that it's Him. So do you want to see miracles happen through you? Make yourself available to God 24/7. That's not to say that God won't give you all the necessary rest that you need. He's a good God. But He may well ask you to go somewhere or do something or pray something at a time which is inconvenient to you. And to really take a risk. Because to exercise every spiritual gift requires an element of risk. But often the greatest risk we take is maybe a bit of embarrassment. During this season of preparing for Easter, where our appeal is for our brothers and sisters in Christ in the persecuted church, the risk that they take is of a whole new paradigm. They know that they may die for what they say or what they do. The greatest risk that we take is one of inconvenience. Perhaps some embarrassment. So let's be caught up in the love of God, in the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. And let's practice, because these gifts are like a muscle. Do you want to grow stronger in the gift of faith? Then exercise faith. Do you want to go stronger in the gifts of prophecy? Then exercise it. Same with encouragement, healing. There is no better way to grow in faith in any of these areas than just doing it again and again and again and again. And then we minister to one another in faith and in power, as each of us as the body of Christ play our unique part. And we experience a joy and fulfillment that we never thought possible. There is nothing that beats realizing that you have a unique gift given by God for the benefit of other people, and using that and seeing something wonderful happen. There's great joy that comes. So as Peter wrote in 1 Peter 4, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and honor to him forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we offer yourselves afresh today. Lord, use us to show your love to the world through you speaking and through you acting. Lord, show us what particular gifts you have given us. Give us opportunities, give us a fresh love in our heart, and give us a sturdiness and a strength, Lord, to use what gifts you have given us and to keep using them. Lord, most of all, we pray for an outpouring of your love, that we may see others and love them the way you love them, and be caught up increasingly in seeing you embrace this world that needs your love so deeply. And all this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.